We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Throws a matching pass upfield. Reggie Tom Fears gathers it in on a dead run and races all the way to score for Los Angeles. A 72-yard touchdown play.
First down inside his own five from his own end zone. Sacked and a safety on Rudolph. Aaron Donald and Clay Matthews got to him.
Inspired by the presence of Captain Jack Youngblood, playing in pain with his broken leg. A savage Ram defense.
They hand it to Steven. Great jump cut. 45.
Sees a whole burst to it. 20.
Side steps to tackle. Runs left. 25. Still on his feet. 46-yard goal by number 39.
Running back number 29, Eric Dickerson.
Johnny Hecker, a high school quarterback, is going to throw. The fake is on it. He's got a first down to Stephen Bailey.
Mike Jones made the tackle, and the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
Rams Talk Radio with Derek Ciapala and Michael Stewart.
Welcome to Rams Talk Radio. This is Derek Ciapala with my co-host, my partner in crime, former Los Angeles Rams defensive back, Michael Stewart. And yeah, I talked right through that one because wow, that game. Wow. One more time, just for giggles. Wow. Yeah. Rams win 20-12. Probably should have been a much bigger margin. There are some things going on there. I think some major things going with Cardinals. That team, I don't know how to even talk about it. We will talk about it. And sure, J.D. Long did on the play-by-play talking about that with Maurice Drew at the end of the game there. Just talking about how awful the Cardinals' clock management was and everything. I mean, my gosh. The question really now becomes, do the Rams win this game? Or the Cardinals lose it, because I think there's an argument you can make for both. Nonetheless, the Rams are 2-1. I love it when I'm wrong when it comes to the Rams. Yeah. I love it. I had this game. I switched my vote. They proved me wrong. I think maybe we should do the whole reverse psychology thing when they play the Niners next, too. You know, I should just say, hey, the Rams are going to lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get what I'm saying there, right? You know.
Right.
So, you know, I digress. As it is, first thoughts of the game, Mike, just three quick thoughts of what you saw today.
A win is a win is a win. But sloppiness and some indecision, but functional.
So basically, it's like their third preseason game.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you got my drift. Yes.
I got your drift. Any other thoughts?
Well, you know, I just, at this point in time, you know, you would like to see, you know, I guess things are progressing. If when you look at the stat sheet, see the running game got going a little bit. You see the passing game, they're spreading it around a little bit. But you know, when you bring a guy in like Robinson to do some things and just dropping balls and different stuff, it's just kind of, I don't know, man. It's just sometimes looking at games now, It's like people don't really take their job seriously, and playing professional football is a job. But when you look on the sideline after Cam Akers fumbles on the goal line and him and the other running back are kind of over there chucking it up and laughing, like, what's funny? I don't get it. And so I don't know, man. I just would like to see guys on Sunday take things a little bit seriously, not like, if we win, cool. If we lose, hey, man, we're going to get paid and we're going to go out. So I just think part of it is being indicative of being in L.A. Though they're playing away, but it's a short trip. They can get back out and hit the streets when they get back. But I would just like to see a little more seriousness in the sense of what you're doing out there when you're out there on the field. What were your thoughts, DC?
The drops bothered me. The drops bothered me. You basically dropped two touchdown passes. That's a pretty big deal. I think the other thing that bothered me, of course, the fumble of the goal line bothers me. It really does, actually. But I think just the idea that you had this chance to put the Cardinals away early, and they just kind of lingered around. They didn't blow it. Like they let's be honest, they darn near blew it last week against the Falcons. They did. I don't think they blew anything this game. You didn't have this impending sense of doom that the Cardinals are going to come run two touchdowns on them real quick. I think the Rams still kind of pretty much had it in control, but you got to play better, and you got to put people away. And one of the big complaints I think we had about the Rams over the last few years is they didn't really do a great job about putting teams away. Now, they did, come at the last part of last year. They really kind of became the killers, man. They really became the people who would be finishers. And they're not really there yet this year. The Cardinals were 4 out of 5 on fourth down. 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be a finisher. This should have been the way the Rams played at times in this game and the way the Cardinals played, because the Cardinals played like hot garbage. This should have been a 34-7 game, 41-10 game, something like that. And again, I had the Cardinals winning, and I had a winning because I just felt the way they looked versus how the Rams looked the last week. The Rams did a good job of proving me wrong there, and that's great. You look at the time possession, 26 minutes for the Rams, 33 for the Cardinals. The Cardinals ran, we'll go through all the numbers in a moment. They ran 35 more plays than the Rams did, and only outgained the Rams by 20 yards. Rams averaged 7.4 yards per play. They just, at those critical moments, man, they just didn't put their foot in someone's head. And that's how you have to do it in the NFL. If you want to be a Super Bowl contender. Now, I'm not saying that they won't be or they can't be. I mean, they are defending Super Bowl champions, but, it's a win, but it's not one of those wins I'm walking away going, yeah, man, I'm pumped. Yeah, I'm pumped. Because I'm not. I'm happy they won.
Right. I mean, no one's not. It's just, when you strip it all away, it's... You say, did the Rams win or did the Cardinals lose? Well, I guess if it's in the win column, the Rams won. But when you look at how the Cardinals were playing, like, all game, just, they look like they were a JV team out there playing. And so, and you noted a little bit, and we'll get a little bit more into it, the last couple of minutes for them, it's like, okay, man, is anybody a NFL coach on that team? Because it doesn't seem like anyone's knows what they're doing, or they don't have a plan for anything. But in my humble opinion, if the Cardinals just play halfway decent, yeah, this might not be a win, because the Rams were, like I said earlier, they were proficient or somewhat efficient to a degree, but it just was so many miscues and still having some issues with the line play and things like that. And it's just kind of inconsistency. You don't really see this dominating thing. And one of my big concerns, Derek, is the defensive secondary it's like no one knows what they're doing. They keep looking at each other and, you know, they're playing 12 yards off. And I mean, the little stop route is, it's open all day. But I don't know why the Cardinals just, hey, man, I'm going to take what you give me. They could have just did that all day and won the game. But they kept trying to throw deep. And every now and then they would run just, you know, you're running to get cover when a guy is already playing deep and you try to throw deep. So, it's pretty interesting to see. But I'm just, you know, watching the deep sea and I guess it was the secondary coach jumping up and chest bumping. It's like, guys, the dude threw the ball away. It wasn't like you guys was D'ing up somebody. So, I don't know, man. It's just, I would like to see guys take things a little more serious and stop being out there playing around. That's what it looks like.
Well, let's get into the numbers. First things first, we'll go ahead and invite our sponsors to come in and give us a look. Here we go. Oh, by the way, don't forget, Rams Talk Radio is part of the Blue Wire Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, here's the numbers. And I think it'll be really interesting if you get to the bottom and just forget Rams. I'm going to say team one, team two. And you tell me who you think would have won this game. Especially get to the bottom. Here we go. Team one, 15 first downs, 23 for team two. Team one has went 3 for 8 on third downs. Team two went 6 of 18 and 4 out of 5 on fourth down. Team one, 46 plays. Team two, 81. Total yards, 339 and 365 in favor of team two. 7.4 yards per play for team one, 4.5 for team two. Total passing yards, 239 for team one, team two being 295, 37 to 58 for team two, 18 to 25 passes for team one. 100 yards rushing for team one, 70 for team two, averaging 5.0 per carry for team one, 3.3 for team two. Red zone, 1 out of 3 for team one, team two was 0 for 2. Penalties, 6 for 35 for team one, 6 for 50 for team two. Team one, 1 turnover. Time possession for team one, 26 minutes, 4 seconds. And team two, 33:56. So judging from those and knowing the score, from your point of view, Mike, who would have been team one and who would have been team two? Just knowing the score.
Just knowing those, team one would have been... team two would have been probably, you would think it would have been the Rams. And team one, you would have thought it was the Cardinals. But yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Flip them. Yeah, you flip them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You flip them. And.
Right.
The Rams, we kind of went through some things that didn't feel good, but there were some nice things in there. Rams did finally get a 100-yard rushing day. They averaged 5 yards a carry. They did keep, with one turnover, no interceptions. They averaged 7.4 yards per play. That's a nice number. Now, things I think that concern me, again, the 4 out of 5 on fourth down. I mean, the fact that they really didn't get any turnovers at all. Didn't force any turnovers. That's a concern for me. What do those numbers tell you, man?
Yeah, it's just, we have work to do. We have work to do. Again, because I just look at some of the little things of when you got to have it, you got a man running wide open and Stafford throws it inside, receiver goes outside, and it's like, hey, why would you run outside? I'm throwing inside. That's where the open field is. But again, all these things for me are indicative of not playing together in preseason. You would get all the things that we're seeing where it looks like we're sloppy and falling short. All those stuff, that stuff gets fleshed out in camp if you're playing. But no matter, practice and playing are two different things. So you can say, we had 4 weeks of camp. No, you had 4 weeks of practice. You need game reps. And so, now, maybe that's the plan, Derek. Maybe that's the plan of Sean McVay. Hey, we're not going to play guys in the preseason, and we know we're not going to hit our stride till after the fourth game. And maybe they're going, hey, man, we want to be 2-2 after 4. We'll be ready to go. I don't know, but that's what it seems like to me because, again, it's not like a big urgency on anyone's part on what's going on. You got Jalen Ramsey before the game. Hey, man, I got you. And, the coach got to go over to. Why does a coach have to go to a grown man who's been in the league and go to his house and go, hey, man, we just want to know, we got your back, man. Don't worry about it. It wasn't your fault. No, man, do like they did back at, they put the spotlight on you in film. Don't come in this film room because we're going to put the spotlight on you. Now I'm like, what? Okay, that dude's supposed to be a Pro Bowl, one of the highest play. What do you mean you got to go to his house and basically baby him? No, man, get out there and let's go, Jalen. Stop. Anyway, don't get me started on these guys.
So, tell me how you're really feeling.
Yeah, man. I like that Nick Scott got like 7 tackles, 6 tackles. Yeah, come on, Nick Scott. Play. Do your thing, man. Now, I will say this. You can clearly see that Aaron Donald is the best dude to play in the league. And I've seen some dudes, Reggie White, Jerome Brown. There's a list of guys, Warren Sapp even. But Aaron Donald, literally, he could get a sack every time if he wanted to. Because he does stuff that, there's a play. He's driving the guy back inside. They run a little kind of, it's not a screen, but guy tried to jump in and jump cut outside. Aaron Donald was like, get off me, lineman. And then jump back outside and make the tackle. It's like, okay, man, that's a little bit unreal. And then like when he's rushing, you can just tell when he goes, okay, man, this time I'm gonna get a sack. And he just goes in there like they're not even on defense or offense. So That's really neat to see. Me and my son, we were talking about, man, it's going to be a shame to see when this guy actually leaves the game because he literally can seem like he can just do what he wants when he wants to.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. Honestly, in a non-NFL political correct world, we're probably seeing 4 or 5 holds called every game minimum on whoever's blocking Aaron Donald.
Easy.
It really should be, that's how often they're holding him.
Easy, man. Easy. That, yes. Yeah,
they really hold him almost every play.
Every play.
And
every
yet, play. Yeah. He still gets there. And it's just phenomenal. That, and it's even more frowning that the NFL does not call those penalties more in reality. They really should. I mean, if you're trying to highlight your stars, you want those stars getting to the quarterback or getting in there, you know, more than that. And yet they don't. I mean, honestly, call holding more. They really should. But I digress. Also, talking about just staying with that defense, just want to point out to you, I mean, I'm changing the subject a little bit. These are the guys who were out today, inactive. Kobe Durant, who made a nice play last week. Jordan Fuller. David Long. I mean, those guys in secondary out today. So if you're asking the question as to why the secondary is just barking back and forth, like Troy Hill's on the IR. But so if you're asking yourself why they're barking back and forth, because, I mean, this is not their unit. This is them patchworking something together and trying to get together in 1 week. And that's not to, they're still NFL players, not to excuse them, but some miscommunication is understandable considering this is the most injured part of the roster right now outside the offensive line. And that's why it blows my mind at the Cardinals game plan, which was, hey, let's take a shot downfield here. And, you know, but the game, in my view, for the should have been all over taking shots downfield and using that to really wreck the Rams secondary. But they didn't do it. They failed miserably. I can't understand how a game plan was staring them in the face so easily. Like, just go downfield and make that the focus of creating the deep opportunities. And yet they dink and dunk almost that entire second half when they really should have been taking shots. And they're taking shots in the first half without building anything underneath during that time frame. It makes no sense to me. None.
Well, I think clearly we can agree, or I'll speak for myself, that clearly there's hangover from the whole study thing. This is 2 weeks in, you know, Kyler Murray and the addendum there, then no addendum. But for 2 weeks now, I've seen him literally look at his coach with disdain and walk away from him while he's still talking. And you remember, we used to say that a lot about, you know, McVay and
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff. It's just the body language. And now I'm seeing a Kyler Murray. He's like, yeah, man, I just don't have anything really to say to you guys. Or especially his head coach, and he's trying to kind of encourage him. And he's like, yeah, man, whatever, and walks away. So there's something going on there. Or the fact that he knows, like, okay, yeah, I got basically Hollywood Brown. But Hollywood Brown doesn't look like he's in any type of shape. He run a route or two. He got to go out and get a blower. His hands are on his hips. Though he had a pretty outstanding game himself. But I think, you know, all the way around, I totally agree. The Cardinals, again, I don't know what these coaches and so-called gurus do all week, but it's like they had no game plan or no adjustment. And again, I look at Kingsbury, and the dude has like two laminated front and back cards of just plays and stuff. And I go, okay, man. Those look like every play you've ran since you've been playing football in Pop Warner. Like, why would you have that many plays when this game, you could have ran three or four plays and probably did well. Hand the ball off here and there, just throw some quick slants, and that's all you needed. But anyway, a win is a win is a win. But I just think the Rams, they have some work to do if they're really going to try to make this a real season, because as they start playing some more of the big boys, it could be some long days if you're playing like this.
I think they're lucky in some respects that a lot of these teams are coming up. I mean, I cannot believe how many teams are hurting right now. You know, they're not alone. So that helps them some. I think also with the Rams, I think we need to remember this team was never really all that dominant of a team last year. They found ways to win. And they developed grit, they developed toughness, they developed all kinds of things as they went through that final stretch run. But they were never, never like the super dominant team. Like, I can go back to 2018 and think about that team that made its run. That team was very dominant at times. This last year, they weren't really that dominant, but they were winners. And I think the guys there are still winners. They're going to be all right, but I think we're going to have a lot of games like this year. We're going to be thinking, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Because they have a tendency to win dirty. I mean, and I don't mean dirty like cheating, just I mean gritty, tough, you know, tough wins, and unfortunately, injury bugs already get them. A couple of things I do want to say that are positives. I just want to point this out. Stafford, no turnovers. He actually played a pretty good game. Probably if they hadn't had a couple of those drops, it's a different game entirely. Running game improved. He only allowed, one sack or two sacks? So one sack. So it was an improved offensive line, even though, again, another guy goes down today. Havisan goes down and gets hurt. So yeah. I think those are positives. I think, you know, Skyle Reddick. Oh my gosh. Big old Ben. Blocking downfield, man. I love how the Rams do. The Rams just, man, they have guys who block. They bring guys to develop receivers who block. And so, you know, that's fundamental football. I love that. Seeing Tyler Higbee involved more, positive. And even though I really believe the Cardinals shot themselves in the foot a lot, the Rams defense let them do it. They didn't do anything all that stupid. That last drive down the field, yeah, we're talking about them playing 12 yards back, 10 yards back. Yeah, I get that. But, you know, the Cardinals sat there and just did not show any urgency. They just kind of did what they did. And the Rams let them do it. They didn't do anything fundamentally awful to give the Cardinals the advantages. I mean, they just sat back and played defense. You know, at that point, you're just trying to wear clock out. The Rams defense just played the game. So there are a lot of positives there. I just want to see, you know, I don't want to see them put teams away. That's what we want to see them do. We want to see them, you don't want to see drop passes in the end zone. You don't want to see fumbles in the goal line. I know Cam Akers is reaching out for the goal line. I know that. And it's hard to not fumble there when you got a guy coming in and taking that. But you got to know where you're at. I'd rather you get stopped at the 1 yard line than fumble the ball away at the 1 yard line. It's little things like that that maybe actually sound a little at all. What am I saying? But, you know, I look at it and go, that's fixable. I know Cam Akers is getting hit hard on social media right now because of his fumbles last year. I mean, he's getting hit hard, but I think that fumble's more understandable because he's going to reach to put the football out than him running down the field on the 25-yard line and somebody just, he's nonchalant and something just pops out of him. I can understand that a little bit more. Just, man, gotta be a little smarter to tuck that ball away. It's okay not the touchdown there. A field goal there makes it two touchdowns. Straight up, two touchdowns. So, there's my rant on that.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to bring up my buddy Cleveland Gary from back in the day. You know, great back when he came out of Miami. But for whatever reason, he would always try to get the extra yards and it would end up in a turnover. And then it just got to the point where the coach was like, hey, man, we just can't really play like that. But I just remember him, you know, we called him a back from the old Negro League because, you know, he didn't get his ankles taped. He didn't wear gloves. He didn't wear any elbow pads. He just threw his uniform on and came out and let's go. And so, you know, and again, great back. He could catch out the backfield. He could do all that thing. But he ended up getting labeled a little bit as a guy who fumbled because he was always trying to spin or get the extra yard, stretch it out, and it would turn into a turnover. So don't want that to be for Cam Akers, because what I do love about Cam Akers, he runs what we call downhill. So he gets north and south, and he has the ability to also make you miss. But we can't forget he's still coming off of injury, no matter that he is back. He's still coming off injury, so it looks like he's running really well just from a running standpoint, but still coming off a Achilles injury. I know there's got to be some little bit of residual on the mental aspect as he's playing. But, you know, you never try to fault a guy for trying to make a play. But absolutely, when you're that close down in, you just can't fumble on it. It doesn't matter. It's a fumble. Yeah, and you got to figure that out.
You got to put it away. You got to put it away.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's going to hear that now. Hopefully he grows from it. That's what we're all hoping for, right? He just grows from it. But by the way, a couple things here. Brandon Powell, 31-yard kick return today, averaging 14.3 on punt returns. What a weapon back there. I just want to point that out as well. Kind of a nod to him. Not said enough. Sometimes you want to give that nod, though. Had a couple catches as well. So I want to give the nod to Brandon Powell. And Ben Skowronek, he mentioned him earlier for his blocking, led the team in receiving today. That's nice. Tyler Higbee, great game as well. So
yeah.
I really like that the Rams got it to six receivers or try and get to eight. You had two drops. Allen Robinson, what's going on here? That's my question too.
Yeah, that's my question to me as well. I'm watching him and I'm going, okay, man, this is supposed to be our big time guy. Like, why is he looking like he's, I don't know. I don't want to say rookie-ish, but he looks like he's stumbling, he's fumbling. He looks up and the ball's there and he can't get his hands up. And I'm going, yeah, I don't know. But that, again, indecisiveness, not getting hit, not, you know, when you get hit in preseason, well, when you come in on a slant route, you're going to expect to get hit, but you're going to focus and catch the ball. A lot of these guys are like, man, you know, ball's coming too quick. So, yeah, I'm not really sold on Mr. Robinson as one of our key free agent guys right now because it's just looking like he's out there just kind of running around like he's not really – like he doesn't really know what he's doing.
But he does, right? I mean, you know, he's a football player. Maybe he's still adjusting to the offense, but you've had the entire offseason to adjust this offense now.
Right. Maybe he didn't come late. He came early. Yeah.
You know, when the offense is relying more on Ben Skowronek than Allen Robinson right now, that's something that I'm like, okay, concerning me. Concerning. But, okay, Tutu Atwell dropped the touchdown pass today. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to call him a bust yet or what? I mean, he was a first-round pick or anything, but why?
I think we need to give it. That just came out of nowhere. I think we need to give him at least. I'm gonna give him to the midway season this year. I'm gonna give him to the midway. Yeah, midway. But yeah, man. Again, I just personal opinion. You know, having played for the Rams, we were in Anaheim, of course. But personal opinion is, I just call all this stuff the LA effect. You know, there are a lot of distractions that you can get into when you play for the LA Rams. Now the Chargers are here, the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Dodgers. You know, we saw what happened with Yasiel Puig. You know, he was a guy who, you know, had to escape his circumstance to get to the bigs and then get to the bigs. And, oh, man, it's party every day. So I just think some of this, to me, is just the L.A. effect. If you're not focused and really going out to practice, putting that type of work in or after practice or things like that, this is where we see the drops, the seem like running wrong routes, jumping off sides, flinching, just things that, again, you would think – seasoned veterans, they wouldn't be doing this, but put all that together, not playing in preseason, the LA effect, and this is where we're at. This is where we're at, man.
How much of it is actually really a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover?
Oh, it's definitely that. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, you're getting other teams better efforts day in and day out. But again, you should know that going into the game. But, you know, as great as, you know, they're putting all the stats up about Bobby Wagner and the different things, and he had a decent game, you know, 9 tackles. But, you know, you almost sometimes go, well, how come he's not playing like he was when we used to face him against Seattle? And you go, okay, is that scheme? Or, you know, is this now age? But yeah, 9 tackles is 9 tackles, which basically, yeah, kind of led the team. Darion Kendrick had 9 solos.
And he's now in concussion, looking out for concussion.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so guys are banged up, but we'll see. I think, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a little bit later or in a week, got those Niners coming up on the Monday night game. So that's going to be, to me, that's going to be a telltale where we are.
Well, yeah. And one thing, just if there's one thing I want to give a shout out to Matt Stafford for today. There was a play, I want to say it was third quarter, where he was under fire. Cardinals Collins forces him, is coming to make the tackle, and he turns. There's a full
spin move.
Quickly
drops a dime.
Yes, and a quick set, almost a sidearm throw, and nails that.
Yeah,
kind of a three-quarter sidearm.
Yeah,
misses what they went and got him for. I know that we tend to criticize him a little bit for interceptions, but man, that guy's a quarterback. And when we talk about that old comparison between Jared Goff and Stafford, because I know we're going back to that podcast a couple days ago, and this is what Goff did not do well. It was under that kind of pressure, just turning around, spinning and dropping a dime like that. Man, that was awesome play. Okay, one last thing. I want to make this prediction now about the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury. That dude's on his way out.
He's done.
I don't think he's... I mean, you mentioned earlier, but... And we've kind of touched on it a bit. That team, they're too talented to be playing the way they are. Let's be honest. They are way too talented to be playing the way they are. And you mentioned no game plan, the clock management, where there's no urgency. They aren't really doing anything to establish the run. They're not really using Kyler Murray to his strengths. And we're seeing all, there is way too much talent. Hold on a minute. We didn't even mention this. The Cardinals have lost 7 straight games now at home. 7.
Right.
One more time for those in the back.
Right.
7 straight home games. Mike, 7 straight home games. When you're supposed to be a playoff contender. I don't see how.
Well, the sad thing is, it's like, I would imagine they're thinking, again, I'm not in there, Matt. This is me thinking. I would imagine the thinking is, man, when we get B-Hop back, we're going to now be fine. Because he's going to, be getting double and triple teams, so that's going to open things up. But to your point, Derek, I look at a coach, Cliff Kingsbury, and I go, okay, man, you got to work with what you have. I got one of the most mobile quarterbacks in this league. Okay, I'm not going to make him just stay in the pocket all game. Man, let's do some rollouts. Let's get him under center. Let's do some bootlegs. Give him some run pass options. I'm doing some things like that. I don't see that happening. And I'm like, okay, man, you guys sit up in these meeting rooms. You've been coaching forever. You mean you can't go back to some just simple, basic one-on-one plays? And I'm watching him over there, and we were commenting. My son was like, well, he go, Dad, why does he look like he's scared or nervous? Or I said, I don't know, man. It seemed like he's been coaching a while. He shouldn't be looking like that. But literally, he just looks. And then when I'm seeing him talking to the quarterback, and the quarterback is just looking at him, he's talking to him, from the field. And, hey, man, get the play in. Like, what are we doing? But you saw when they got in a hurry up, it's more of, I guess, Kyler Murray can call his own plays. And it seems like, they actually work a little more efficient. But, yeah, I don't give it. Once B-Hop gets back, he's coming back after game 6, right?
I think so.
If they don't show mass improvement 2 games after he's back, like the 8th, 9th game, yeah, I think there's going to be an interim coach taking over for the Cardinals.
All right. Here we go. Rest of the league. Baltimore beats New England 37-26. Here's a shocker. The Colts 20-17 over the Chiefs. Say what? No response to that at all. No response.
Well, that was another thing too. You see Pat Mahomes, you know, getting into what is offensive coordinator. Yep. But I think Pat Mahomes has the hangover of this. Yeah, I'm the best quarterback in that week one or week two when he was just out there slinging around and they just looked like they were playing against a junior high team. And, oh, they thought every game was going to be like that. But, yeah, that's what happens. This is the NFL. And so any team can get after you. Keep it going.
Panthers beat the Saints 22-14. The Bears 23-20. And the abuse of Justin Fields continues there. Watching good old Fields misused by the Bears offense, like they've misused every single quarterback they get. It's frustrating to watch, but they can't run the football. Buffalo upset by Miami. I'm not sure we can call that an upset. 21-19.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. What do you think about the whole Tua Tagovailoa protocol for possible concussion violation?
Well, probably shouldn't have been in the game, but
yeah,
I'm also in the corner of, you know, what were the conversations there?
Right.
What were they? Detroit falls apart late. Minnesota comes back to be a 20-24. Jared Goff, 25-41, 267, a touchdown and interception. I'll put a lot of that on the defense, quite frankly. Oh my gosh, Minnesota's offense. Sure, their defense in that one. The Jets lose at home 27-12 to the Bengals. Tennessee 24-22 over the Raiders in the battle of 0-2 teams. Did you watch that by chance?
Yeah, I watched a little bit, man. Derek Carr, man, I don't know, man. It's just some of the stuff he does. And then he have a chance to come back and throws a pick. And it wasn't all his fault. It tipped off that. But let me jump back here to the Jets game. Did you see the D lineman about to beat his coach up?
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey, somebody's going to be getting fined.
Wonder what was going on there. Wonder. A lot of aggression in the sidelines today.
A lot of aggression.
And then you have Philadelphia 24-8 over Washington. That was 24-0 real quickly. Jacksonville 38-10 over the Chargers in SoFi. Wow.
Yeah. Doug Peterson's a good coach, man.
Wow. Yeah. Green Bay 14-12 over Tampa. Both teams did not look good. Did not look good at all. And they're both riddled with injuries, by the way. Yeah. I mean, if you're I'm in Ohio, so that's the game I got. I had to listen to the Rams on the radio. And just sitting there watching this game, it did look a lot like the Rams, honestly. Just disjointed. You have different players in there. There is something to be said about how injuries affect you. The Falcons beat the Seahawks. Yeah, dog. Okay, so the Seahawks are now 1-2.
And, 1-2.
Those Falcons, the same guys that came in last week and, you know, gave the Rams some fits late. Cordarrelle Patterson, 141 yards rushing. Nice. The Rams better be ready, though. The Rams better be ready. Geno Smith, 32 of 44, 325. And the Seahawks also ran the ball. That defense better be ready when they face each other. That's it, man. That's the breakdown from the week today. Any last thoughts? Anything you want to put out there?
No, it's just interesting when you look at the Jaguars, what a coach can do. A lot of the similar talent was there last year. But you get a real coach in Doug Peterson, able to relate to the guys, and it looks like they're, you know, responding. You know, Lamar Jackson is doing his thing with the Ravens, probably having one of his best year so far. So, yeah, some good football. But I think, Derek, we need to put you in the Football Hall of Fame. You noted earlier in the week regarding a lot of these teams and their guys not playing in the preseason. And it seems like there's a correlation between a lot of these guys who now are banged up after week two and three. And but it's like they just haven't had that banging in camp to prepare for a season.
You know, I think it's hard to... I think it's really hard to make an argument either way, though, because the Rams did the same thing last year, and they jumped out to a 7-1 start. I think it really depends on your roster makeup. I think it depends on where you are, and you just have to factor in, if I don't play these guys in the preseason, there's risk. They need the bumps. And they're going to say, I've heard this said, well, they're getting all these bumps in training camp. They're getting all these bumps in practice. It's not the same. It's just not the same. You remember, you played for years. You coached also. You know the difference between practice on your own field with your own guys, even scrimmages, versus actual in-game action. The intensity just goes up. It just goes up. The hitting is harder. On a more consistent, you might have a couple of hard hits here and there, but the hitting is harder consistently in live action, real game. And there's give and take there.
Absolutely. And you're seeing it across the board, tackling this week. You look at all the games, whichever ones was a lot better than last week. And so, again, that's attributed to, you know, guys are getting these live reps. And now, you know, you've got that third game under your belt now. So I would suspect that these continue to get better and better, less missed tackles, and just better gameplay overall. So, yeah, man, I'm looking forward to our discussion later on in the week about these Niners coming up. You got any early prediction, or are you going to wait?
Oh, I'm going to wait. I do think I should do the whole reverse psychology thing again, you know, just say, call the loss.
Should.
I think a lot depends on how we see them playing tonight. You know, if Denver beats them tonight, they're going to come in 1-2 and almost in desperation mode.
Right.
You know, and I also think if the Rams come out of the game plan next week like they did this week, where they can sit back and just give 10 yards between the receiver and defensive back, oh my gosh, the 49ers will eat that for lunch. They will just eat it for lunch. We'll see them get 40 yards time possession. I mean, sorry, 40 minutes time possession. It'll be an ugly game next week. You can't come out there next week and play 10 yards of the football. You can't. So we'll see what they do. They can't do the same thing they did with the Cardinals today, that's for sure. That's my feeling.
All right.
It is time for us to go.
Yes.
But follow Mike on Twitter at OneDuke23. Follow me on Twitter, DC Paul. Follow us at Talk Rams. But most importantly, leave those reviews. Subscribe to Rams Talk Radio anywhere podcasts can be found. And until our midweek show, we're out of here. Oh, and don't forget Bunny Hens this week. Steven Jones.
Yes.
Can't forget those guys. All right, we're out of here.
Out of here.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.